Welcome to Bible News Press. Our goal is to discuss biblical faith beyond cliches and buzzwords, whether such words are religious or political. Sometimes we sit around the table and fellowship. Sometimes we do a little time travel. It is all part of our journey with our Abba Father, who has given us the key to life. We do it with Jesus, and we do it together. Welcome.
Hello, I'm Laura. I will be reading Ezekiel chapter 22 from the World English Bible. Moreover, Yahweh's word came to me, saying, "You, son of man, will you judge? Will you judge the bloody city? Then cause her to know all her abominations. You shall say, 'The Lord Yahweh says, a city that sheds blood within herself, that her time may come, and that makes idols against herself to defile her. You have become guilty in your blood that you have shed, and are defiled in your idols which you have made. You have caused your days to draw near, and have come even to your years. Therefore I have made you a reproach to the nations, and a mocking to all the countries. Those who are near and those who are far from you will mock you, you infamous one, full of tumult. Behold, the princes of Israel, everyone according to his power, have been in you to shed blood. In you have they treated father and mother with contempt. Among you they have oppressed the foreigner. In you they have wronged the fatherless and the widow. You have despised my holy things and have profaned my Sabbaths. Slanderous men have been in you to shed blood. In you they have eaten on the mountains. They have committed lewdness among you. In you they have uncovered their father's nakedness. In you they have humbled her who was unclean in her impurity. One has committed abomination with his neighbor's wife, and another has lewdly defiled his daughter-in-law. Another in you has humbled his sister, his father's daughter. In you have they taken bribes to shed blood. You have taken interest and increase, and you have greedily gained of your neighbors by oppression, and have forgotten me, says the Lord Yahweh. Behold, therefore, I have struck my hand at your dishonest gain, which you have made, and at your blood, which has been within you. Can your heart endure, or can your hands be strong in the days that I will deal with you? I, Yahweh, have spoken it, and will do it. I will scatter you among the nations, and disperse you through the countries. I will consume your filthiness out of you. You will be profaned in yourself in the sight of the nations. Then you will know that I am Yahweh." Yahweh's word came to me, saying, "Son of man, the house of Israel has become dross to me. All of them are bronze, tin, iron, and lead in the middle of the furnace. They are the dross of silver. Therefore the Lord Yahweh says, 'Because you have all become dross, therefore behold, I will gather you into the middle of Jerusalem, as they gather silver, bronze, iron, lead, and tin into the middle of the furnace to blow the fire on it, to melt it. So I will gather you in my anger and in my wrath, and I will lay you there and melt you. Yes, I will gather you and blow on you with the fire of my wrath, and you will be melted in the middle of it. As silver is melted in the middle of the furnace, so you will be melted in the middle of it, and you will know that I, Yahweh, have poured out my wrath on you." Yahweh's word came to me, saying, "Son of man, tell her, 'You are a land that is not cleansed, nor rained on in the day of indignation. There is a conspiracy of her prophets within it, like a roaring lion ravening the prey. They have devoured souls. They take treasure and precious things. They have made many widows within it. Her priests have done violence to my law and have profaned my holy things. They have made no distinction between the holy and the common. Neither have they caused men to discern between the unclean and the clean, and have hidden their eyes from my Sabbaths. So I am profaned among them. Her princes within it are like wolves ravening the prey, to shed blood and to destroy souls, that they may get dishonest gain. Her prophets have plastered for them with whitewash, seeing false visions and divining lies to them, saying, 'The Lord Yahweh says, when Yahweh has not spoken. The people of the land have used oppression and exercised robbery. Yes, they have troubled the poor and needy, and have oppressed the foreigner wrongfully. I sought for a man among them who would build up the wall and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I would not destroy it, but I found no one. Therefore I have poured out my indignation on them. I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath. I have brought their own way on their heads, says the Lord Yahweh. That is the end of chapter 22. I'm seeing three separate times when the word of the Lord came to Ezekiel in this section that has been labeled chapter 22 in our Bibles. The first section, the first prophecy, is verses 1 through 16. The second is verses 17 through 22. And the third is verses 23 through 31. The emphasis of the first prophecy in verses 1 through 16 is how much blood they have shed. He speaks of the bloody city to represent those in charge, those who run the city, in contrast to the oppressed strangers and orphans and widows as referred to in verse 7. Bloodshed or shedding blood or bloody are mentioned seven times. I counted when I saw that it was repeating, and it is seven times in both the World English Bible translation and the New King James Version. I didn't go count all the other translations. But the people of the city, the people running the city, the people in power, shed blood to obtain money, per verses 12 and 13, and because they're in power, verses 6 and 9. The shedding of blood is mentioned in conjunction with idols in verses 3, 4, and 9. The prophecy begins with God asking Ezekiel, "Will you judge them?" And this is like Ezekiel chapter 20, verse 4, the idea being, will he expose what is happening, what the abomination is, because her time has come, time is up. Verse 4 is sobering. It says, "I have made you a reproach to the nations because of their guilt. They were chosen to represent God, his loving and righteous character. And as keeps coming up, if they won't do this by willingly following him, they will do it by being an example of judgment. They are known to be his people. The whole world knows that he brought them out of Egypt, but they have become, by choice, the marred clay of Jeremiah 18, verses 1 through 11. And even there, the message is that up to the last minute, they can repent and God will relent. Now, don't get that confused with in Ezekiel here. It says he won't relent. He won't relent on appropriate judgment without repentance. And we see that in Jeremiah 18, verse 12, even, that their choice, their very clear, conscious choice, is to follow their own plans and their own evil heart. But they are still chosen. They are still going to be used for God's good plan. And that will include not only them suffering violence and pestilence, but it will include humiliation. Verse 4 uses the word reproach. The King James Dictionary defines reproach as disgrace or shame. The Merriam-Webster Online Dictionary says that reproach is an expression of rebuke or disapproval, something worthy of scorn, or to express disappointment or disapproval. Recall the prophecies in Ezekiel chapter 5, verses 6 through 7, and also chapter 16, verse 47, where it says that the abominations of Israel were even worse than all of the pagan nations around them. So that gives some reasoning behind this reproach in particular. So what are we to do with this verse 4, in comparison to the promises made to Abraham in Genesis 12, verse 3, and then passed on to Jacob in Genesis 27, 29, and then confirmed for the whole nation as Balaam, rather reluctantly, blesses Israel in Numbers 24, 9. And so he speaks confirming that this applies to the whole nation, that whoever blesses you will be blessed and whoever curses you will be cursed. I think it can be summed up this way. To see someone's disgraceful behavior and even to respond appropriately to that is not the same as cursing them. A curse is to wish or pronounce injury or misfortune. Now, God cursed the ground because of Adam's sin, But when people curse, there is an implication of usurping God's judgment. This is much like scripture that warns us in several places not to avenge ourselves, that vengeance belongs to God in his far superior ways. You will notice several places in the Old Testament where various nations suffer judgment because they delighted in taking part in harming Israel. They delighted in being able to exact judgment on them. But we are to love our enemies and bless those who curse us. And we also know from places like Romans 11, 25 through 29, that God's choosing of the nation of Israel is irrevocable. We can and should rightly identify wickedness done by them, but we should, if we want to honor God and know what is good for us, bless the nation of Israel. On the other hand, we can see even today this prophecy is being fulfilled. And Paul says in Romans 2:24, he's actually quoting Isaiah 52:5, that God is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of Israel's lack of using the law right. But today, we can see this prophecy fulfilled and that Israel, ironically, is held to a higher standard than all the other nations. They are generally still held in reproach. However, most of the people who do this fall into the same error that the Assyrians, the Babylonians, and other ancient nations did, in that they are gleefully malicious in their condemnation and often unjust and hypocritical. They fulfill the prophecy unwittingly of showing Israel reproach, but to a degree and a way that is not what God intended, and at the same time, they don't take any notice of their own corrupting folly. So this section, verses 1 through 16, ends with the survivors of Israel being scattered among the nations, and this is a prophecy that has been repeated throughout the Old Testament. But notice that even here, there is a purpose with it. It is to consume their filthiness out of them, to burn them clean, which segues naturally to verses 17 through 22, where the prophecy is about melting them because they have become dross. Dross is scum or unwanted materials rising up from melted metals. Its impurities are considered worthless. Again, keep in mind that the righteous either left the city, the nation, according to the things we talked about from chapter 21, or they are being watched over as we discussed. God's anger, wrath, or fury are mentioned four times in this short passage. In the next section, verses 23 through 31, the theme is the corruption of false prophets, as well as priests violating God's law, and then princes being like ravenous wolves. These are all people in positions to lead, but they have perverted their positions. And again, the text points out that in doing this, they are wrongfully oppressing the foreigners, and they are troubling or mistreating the poor and the needy. Verse 30 is the interesting part about God looking for a man to stand in the gap. He can't find such a man. We know there are still righteous men in the nation. We know some by name, Jeremiah, the Ethiopian, Daniel, and Ezekiel. And we know from what we are told about these men that these are truly righteous men. Unlike other characters, even Abraham and David, these particular men, we don't hear about their faults. We just hear about them following God and giving his message. So this is not even what he's looking for. He can't find such a man, and without such a man, the nation must endure God's wrath because of, quote, their own way. I've heard a lot of people say that this standing in the gap refers to prayer, usually commenting on how Moses prayed for the people of Israel to be spared. But in this passage, it doesn't say anything about prayer. There are a couple of interesting, helpful cross-references in Isaiah, Isaiah 59:16 and Isaiah 63:5. Isaiah 59:16 speaks of no one interceding, and we may be used to hearing that word in our culture used with prayer, and that's legitimate. But again, here, that is not what is being said. And if you continue reading through verse 20 of this chapter in Isaiah, it gives the key. The Redeemer will come to Zion. There is the interesting example of Moses and Aaron in Numbers 16. What is happening there is a plague due to the sinful murmuring of the people of Israel against Moses. And Moses tells Aaron to run with the censer from the fire of the altar to make atonement for them, to keep them from getting wiped out. This is not prayer per se that is needed. This intercession is about atonement. It's about redemption. And then in Isaiah 63:5, it is similar, saying that no one is found to help. So God himself will bring salvation. As Paul says in Romans 3:26, that God is the just and the justifier. Without his salvation, if they refuse his mercy, they must be subject to judgment. And that's how Ezekiel chapter 22 ends.
That is the Bible News Press segment for today, but not the end of our journey.